are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to give you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And in this episode, we will look at the trade deadline, which produced no trades for the Pacers, nor really any significant moves impacting the teams around the Pacers. But what it did do was leave the Pacers in a bit of a mess, with Paul George, Larry Bird, and Herb Simon all looking bad in the process. So before we dive in, a quick reminder, hit me up with any comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Okay, well, let's start with the good news. The Pacers still have Paul George. So they ended the trade deadline on Thursday with the best player in any deal that they discussed. But unfortunately, they were unable to unearth any help for PG. And to be fair, you know, there were very few deals involving quality impact players, and the Pacers certainly didn't find any worthy takers for their first round picks, and really, they had little else to offer. But while that was going on, the news most of the day included continuous updates from Adrian Wojnarowski or Sam Amick or Mark Stein, other NBA writers about the Pacers dealing with other teams, primarily Boston, about trading Paul George. And with a high asking price indicated by all the reports, it doesn't really sound like the Pacers tried very hard on their end to move PG. Despite all the drama with each update, Celtics aren't throwing in a first-round pick. Oh, the Celtics are now throwing in a first-round pick. And all these updates kept coming out, but they always have the qualifier that it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But they're still talking. So that kind of got annoying. And then towards the end of the day, Sam Amick had a tweet which stated that, one problem with trying to deal for Paul George for teams that weren't the Lakers was that PG was barring a championship contending type of team in Indiana, was hell-bent on joining the Lakers, which, again, to me personally, still doesn't make a ton of sense at this point. But regardless, that was reported, and of course, that's Paul George and his people, not Paul George personally, but his people, putting that information in other people's heads. So by the end of the day, no moves were made, and then Pacers have practice, and of course Paul George meets me after practice, and a day after saying he and the front office and Herb Simon were all on the same page, Paul George made things a mess by complaining that he wasn't kept in the loop on things that were going on during the deadline. Here's a quote from what he said. I was kind of on the ropes, just like you guys. I didn't know what was about to happen. It was kind of a dark moment. That was the frustrating part. I thought I should have been in the loop a little bit more. And, he went on to say, if I'm your guy, you're going to keep me in the loop more. So, after saying on Wednesday that he had a job to do to get the Pacers rolling again for the remainder of the regular season, PG kind of threw a blanket on any hopes of his leading the team right away by, making it known that he's not happy. That's great. So, that doesn't exactly create a positive work environment. But regardless, the Pacers will be back at it on the court for a game against the Grizzlies on Friday. But again, it's kind of hard to keep Paul in the loop when his people are leaking loads of info to reporters about, Paul's desire to go to the Lakers if things don't work out with the Pacers. So, maybe you should keep the front office in the loop on what he's thinking And of course, you know, I know there's no way PG understands both sides of that situation. You know, he's just focused on himself. But, you know, there is another side of it. And, you know, as for the other side, you know, Larry Bird now has a roster mess on his hands. And, you know, making no deal is far better than making a bad deal. But considering, you know, reports that, you know, the asking price for PG was rightfully, you know, a home run or nothing, it makes you kind of wonder how much give and take he had with other dealings. You know, was he driving a hard bargain, you know, for, what, Ed Davis, who someone is a role player but could be a good fit for the Pacers off the bench in the front court. But considering, you know, the dearth of deals around the league on Thursday, it appears most teams weren't really willing to take much of a risk, preferring to wait until the summer to alter their approach. One reason for that could be the top-heavy nature of the league right now. You know, the Cavaliers, the Warriors, the Spurs, you know, Rockets, I guess now you can throw in there. If you're not making a bold move that really makes you jump up there, you might as well wait until the summer to see how things play out. But Bird just hasn't been able to get anything done, big or small, with this roster now, and he's going to have to wait till the summer and possibly do quite a bit of work there before the draft, in and around the draft. But now he's got a bunch of veteran players that don't really fit well together, and they seem to be straying a bit, obviously, in the midst of a six-game losing streak. Things are a challenge. The good thing is there is a bunch of veteran players involved, and they should be able to, regardless of how odd the situation may be coming off of this trade deadline where, you know, potentially everybody's name was mentioned at some point or another as being in a trade discussion. Now they can at least put that behind them. They know what's set for the, you know, remaining 25 games of the regular season, and come together as basketball players and do what they do, be pros and play basketball. So that's, you know, the bottom line at this point. But as much as frustrated with Bird and his lack of being able to get anything done, the basketball decisions do go through Bird, but really the buck still stops at the top with the owner, Herb Simon. You know, he sets the parameters for what the team can do, and that's, you know, hamstrung the Pacers in the past, especially the past few years. And, you know, as an owner, he's preached not exceeding the salary cap pretty much ever since Bird took over. The team did pay some salary or luxury tax in the early 2000s when they were pushing to remain viable in championship contention in those years. But it seems like he's been waiting until they get close before possibly doing that again. And they were a couple of years ago, but still we heard that they didn't want to exceed the luxury tax. And, you know, that makes sense when the team was not turning a profit, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, coming off the Murph Levy years and, you know, bouncing back from all of the Jermaine O'Neal, Steven Jackson, Jamal Tinsley teams. But the value of the franchise has increased by, you know, about $500 million since then. Plus, there's been an influx of money and revenue sharing in the league. And, of course, taxpayer money, help from the CIB. So all this creates a favorable spending situation from Simon. And yet, it seems like, you know, he continues to fiddle. Don't hear anything. Don't hear any pressure put on by Simon. And, you know, just pretty much leaves Peter Dinwiddie to pinch pennies while trying to manage the salary cap. And from a business standpoint, I understand. I'm not one to spend other people's money, but this is also a game on some level. And you're competing against 30 other teams. And so, you know, I get why spend too much money, you know, with the Cavs and Warriors dominating the league. But still, that sets kind of the culture from the top down that, you know, just do your best with what you got, which actually isn't the same as the other teams. So, I know, you know, Pacers are a small market team, but here's a list of small market teams that are spending more than Pacers this year. Portland, by a mile, Memphis, San Antonio, Charlotte, Milwaukee, Orlando, Sacramento, Now, obviously, spending isn't the only answer. Obviously, just ask Portland, who are on the hook for about $119 million this year, and even Orlando. But having that option, giving personnel people a chance to do their jobs better would definitely help, especially when you're trying to surround Paul George at this point with some talent and guys that he can trust and knows that he can go forward with and spend the prime of his career with the Pacers, knowing that you got a young, great piece in Miles Turner, who Paul George has mentioned as being, another cornerstone, should be the cornerstone of a team going forward. But if they're not going to be able to go fill in the key gaps they need, with veteran guys that may cost a little bit more but may give you more of a return, then it's just never going to happen. So I never want to, the owner is always a factor in a team, especially on the pro level. And you can look around the league at teams and ownership situations and the ones that do it right, and it makes a difference. But now the heat is on Larry Bird and, the front office to make the best of this situation. And if that means dealing PG this summer, so be it. If not, they still have plenty of time, another year, to create a favorable situation for Paul's final season with the Pacers. But, between PG, Bird, and Simon, right now the Pacers are far less desirable team today from the outside looking in than they were at the start of the season. And that's a shame, but that's just where we're at right now. So we'll see if they can bolster the reputation of the team over the remainder of this season and then heading into what will be a very interesting offseason this year. That is for sure. But really, what this team really needs is a game to play. Enough of this off-court stuff. I mean, in their own ways, Bird and PG are horrific political people, PR people. They just blunt sometimes and really don't express themselves in a positive manner. And that, in turn, creates more drama and more stories and more speculation and just more of a mess. So hopefully Pacers get back on the court, do what they do, play hoops. And that will begin to help smooth the waters out a little bit. But it's not going to be easy. Memphis Grizzlies come in with their veteran team, payroll around $110 million, with Mark Gasol and Michael Conley out of Lawrence North, and, of course, Zach Randolph from Marion. And, the Pacers got to be desperate to play a game just despite losing six in a row just because their on-court game remains light years ahead of their off-court game at this point. And getting the Grizz at home should help. It's going to be a hickory night with the throwback uniforms from Hoosiers and the team with Marion's own Zach Randolph on the Grizzly are going to honor the mid-80s Marion Giants, great teams that had a lot of success, led by some serious talent with Lyndon Jones and Jay Edwards running the show. Should be fun to see those guys. But really, the Pacers need to beat Memphis because after they play the Grizz on Friday, they were back-to-back with a game in Miami, which is the first of five in a row on the road. After Miami, they go to Houston, San Antonio, Atlanta, and Charlotte. Ouch! So, got to beat the Grizz, or that losing streak could get real nasty in a hurry next week. So keep the faith, Pacers fans. Not all is lost. There is a little hope that Thaddeus Young will be able to return, although hearing from some reports from the fieldhouse that he had his wrist taped up pretty good and was still dealing with some pain. Going to try and play through it, but it's his shooting wrist, so even if he's, getting it up and playing, I don't know how effective he's going to be shooting the ball, at least. But hopefully he can do some other things out there. And maybe once the adrenaline gets flowing, it'll loosen up and he'll be able to play a regular game, which the Pacers desperately need, along with desperately needing a win. So thanks for listening again. Please share your thoughts on the deadline or the team as we go forward here. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. You can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.